His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz. His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by Brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
The ring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this. Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America. But when did America ever bless God? You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You some bitches get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black power, black power, and more black power to my black family. This is your brother, your comrade in arms, a soldier right here in battle with you, Brother Sean Kwali, broadcasting live to you once again from the hails and the smells of North America. We thank you for tuning in with us and joining up with us for another edition of Black Power Radio, the hardest hitting, most revolutionary 2 hours of radio anywhere to be found in the hails of North America, in Central and South America, and all throughout the world. We got to bring it black like black coffee. We got to bring it straight with no chaser. And that's how we do every show. And so we always thank you for listening and tuning in with us, because without you, the people, there is no us. Everything that we do as soldiers, as warriors, as revolutionaries, it is all for the people. It is all for the liberation and salvation of the black nation. Every other ethnicity has people that look out for its own interest. Everybody has watchdog groups and people that are looking and riding for their interest. But the poor, pitiful black man and black woman has nobody speaking up and speaking out and working in a concrete way on the behalf of the black man and black woman in a consistent effort. And so the new Black Panther Party is proud to take the torch and proud to take our position, which is the vanguard position, and to represent you as the black man and black woman, the mothers and fathers of civilization, the first and the only. And so we thank you on behalf of our national chairman, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, and we thank you on behalf of the National Central Committee and all of the chapters all throughout 196,940,000 square miles of planet we call Earth. We're thankful for you tuning in with us once again. And as they say in the rap game, once again it's on. Once again it is on. We're talking about now bringing on the national chairman, who is due to be on any second. He's got a big, big, big announcement. And he say, you know, just buckle your seatbelt. That's what he say. Buckle your seatbelt, strap down tight, and get low in your seat. And if, you know, as the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad say, if the cabin at any time becomes depressurized, the flotational devices and the oxygen masks will all come out, and they'll be able to resuscitate you and get you back to safety. And so we want to, you know, get you comfortable. We want to get you prepared. There's a lot of things going on in the world. And when you look at the news and look right outside your door, it's not hard to understand that this world has absolutely gone haywire and bonkers and bananas. This world has absolutely lost its mind. And so, you know, hell, you've got to have a revolutionary change. You've got to have the kind of change that is desirous for freedom, the kind of change that is desirous for justice, the kind of change that is desirous for equality, the kind of change that will provide a peace and contentment, an everlasting peace and contentment, so that we don't have to deal with the wiles of our enemies anymore. We don't have to deal with the machinations, and we don't have to deal with the prejudice, and we don't have to deal with the racism, and we don't have to deal with the injustice, and we don't have to deal, as we talked on the last show, about police brutality. We don't have to deal with the things that happen in terms of not getting reparations, and we don't have to deal with improper health care. We don't have to deal with fighting the white man's wars, and we don't have a peace and freedom to enjoy right here on our own soil. And so the new Black Panther Party, we're proud and happy to take the vanguard position. The vanguard position, that is the forefront. That is the very front. That is, you know, you can't go any farther than to be out front. We are in the vanguard position. And that means that if you see us in the vanguard position, that is your duty. If we're in the vanguard position, to support us, you know, we got to make it clear that everybody has not taken up this battle called a revolutionary battle. Everybody has not taken up this stance and taken up this fight and done the necessary things for freedom. And so if you see your brothers and your sisters coming up and you see us trying to make our word bond and do what we're supposed to do by giving of our lives and our wealth and our persons, that it is the duty of the people, it is the duty of the oppressed to support your party. And I ain't talking about no Democratic Party. I ain't talking about no Tea Party. I ain't talking about no Republican Party. I ain't talking about held against the party. I'm talking about the new Black Panther Party. The new Black Panther Party. The Panther is the people. I just want to make it clear before we bring the national chairman on. The Panther is the people. The Panther, the Black Panther, is for black people. If you are black and you are oppressed in the hells of America, if you are black and you have been downtrodden, your ancestors were beat down as slaves, and your ancestors were not received, were not given the just due that is due and owed to us, then you should consider yourself a Panther. You should be emailing us at nvpphq@yahoo.com to get your Panther button. You should be emailing us and coordinating with us and calling my phone and calling others to find out how you can get a Black Power movement started in your city. It's not about being tied down and locked down and shackled down to an ideology, or tied down and locked down and shackled down to one particular person's way of thinking. It is about us getting absolutely free. It is about us getting up from the yoke of the white man's noose and the white man's systemic racism and doing for ourselves. It is about us picking up the mantle of Marcus Mosiah Garvey, the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, and continuing the steamline ships and continuing the land grab and continuing to do that which our forefathers and foremothers have already done. And they would have completed if it was not for the evil machinations of this beast called America. You got to know that the beast is the reason why your people and my people are not free. This beast is the reason why our people are not free. So let me check now and see if this is our national chairman calling in. If it's not, I'm going to have you hold. But you're on the air with Black Power Radio, 610, Black Power. 610-277, you're on the air, Black Power. All right, well, we know that was not the national chairman, because the national chairman would have came right on in. And so anyway, you got to know that the beast is the reason why we are not free. You know, they sold us an American dream, which Minister Malcolm X rightly taught us it is an American nightmare. They sold us the American dream, which he rightly taught us it is an American nightmare. And 400 years plus later, we have not rightly woke up from this dream. We have not woke up from this nightmare. We're still chasing after the white man's dream, trying to get the white man's piece of the pie, trying to integrate and assimilate and be a part of a society that does not want us, has no place for us, and has no use for us. They brought our people over here as slaves. Brought our people in the holds of ships, chained and bound and gagged. Brought us over here with our intelligence and our beauty for the expressed purpose of building and creating a nation. And from that particular point, once the nation was built, it no longer needed you or I. Once that nation was built, it no longer needed for the black man and black woman, the human resource. It didn't need us anymore. And so they've already built the empire. The empire now is up. The empire now is standing. The empire now is the richest nation, quote unquote, the richest nation anywhere in the world. The country of America, I always properly called it a corporation, but for conversation purposes and talking points, we'll say the country of America is up and running now, and it's up and running off of the backs of blacks and off the backs of indigenous oppressed people. And so, hell, we got to say like they say in the movie, the empire has already struck back, and so, hell, we got to strike back now. Now we have to go for what's ours. If you already know they've cut you off and they're telling you every day in the news that they have no use for you now, you can't find a job, you can't get a decent wage, they don't want to give you the proper health care, they don't want to, you know, heal the ailments, they don't want to talk about holistic health care, they just want to give you poisonous medicines to make you further fatten the pockets of the pharmaceutical industry. And since now we know that we cannot get justice in this land, brothers and sisters, now is that time that we have to do for ourselves. Now, the media would have you believe that doing for yourself means that you are a hater of other people. Well, let me say this. There is nothing that I'm going to say on this radio broadcast or nothing that our national chairman, Dr. Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, is going to say that will make you hate anybody. If after all that you have suffered for over 400 years now, if after everything that you have suffered, if it does not make you have a righteous sense of bitterness and pain and anger and even on certain levels, hatred towards your oppressor and your enemy, then hell, there is nothing that I will say that will make you do anything like hate anyone. Hell, if your women and your children being lynched and raped and hung, and now in the public education system being lynched and mentally raped and hung, does not upset you enough to want to do for yourself and build liberation schools and build freedom schools, if that does not, you know, incite you enough to get up and do something for yourself, then you are 100% a dead black man and a dead black woman. And I would say that really you're taking up the space of the live, wide awake black man and black woman. If you are not willing to do for self today, all the lazy ones, you're taking up space, and you need to do yourself a favor and get the hell out of the way, because there's a black man, a new black man, and a new black woman that wants to do for self. And I'm talking about even within the youth. Even within the youth today, the youth want to do for self. The youth, in many cases, in many cities that we go to, they recognize that they're not being trained and taught properly in the educational system. They recognize that they're not being given, they're not given a true sense of history and herstory. They recognize that they're not given skills and talents that would make them, you know, be able to go for self and build for self and be able to have a lasting, withstanding career. They recognize this, and so many of the youth are saying to hell with school. I'm just telling you straight up. You can like it or not like it, but many of the youth are just saying straight up to hell with school. We ain't going to school. Many of the youth are telling me that hell, for all the time that the people are spending in school, if they would just take that time to do for themselves, they'd be better off. I'm just telling you what they say, you know. And so, you know, you have to look at the point of the youth and look at the point of the future. The point is what they're learning and what we are learning. It is not getting us anywhere. What we have been doing as a people is not getting us anywhere. We're not advancing in the manner in which we should advance. we're not pushing forward in the effort and in the progress in the way that we should be pushing forward as a people. We have marched, we have picketed, we have yelled, we have sang, we have lit candles, we've been sprayed with fire hose, we've allowed dogs to bite us, and our women allowed dogs to even bite the meat out of the breast of our women. I mean, all kind of atrocities that have happened to us. And after all of that, the best that we can say now is that we have a black man at the head of the white corporation. No, sir, no, ma'am. Brothers and sisters, that is not what a sister like Harriet Tubman sacrificed and went underground for. That is not, you know, what the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey fought for. That is not what Sojourner Truth fought for. That is not what even the Black Panther Party of the 1960s fought for. That is not what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam fought for. We did not fight. None of us fought, and none of us are fighting to be at the head of white America. None of us want to be at the head of white America. If you want to be at the head of white America, that is equivalent to you wanting to be the captain of the Titanic. That means that you want to be a part of a sinking ship. You want to be a part of a ship that is full of holes, that is decadent, that is unable to stay afloat. You want to be a part of an inherited mess. And when you look at what President Obama has today, he has absolutely inherited the mess of white America, and he's absolutely trying to patch a ship that has way too many holes in it, and has already been predicted by our people that if she did not do what was right by her once slaves, the black man and black woman, she would meet an ultimate end and an ultimate cease of business operations. And so here, y'all are smart enough and intelligent enough to read through the lines on that. You know what I'm saying. Hell, it's the time for the black man and black woman. And so when you see a man like Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz stand up in the hills of North America in the way that he's standing up, you have to recognize, dear brother and sister, that there is a change going on, that there is a change in progress. There is a changing of the guard. There is a change of even leadership style. There is a change of even mentality, because when you look at a man like Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, this is a brother who comes right from the concrete jungle like you and I. This is a brother who has experienced much of life, much of what goes on an everyday basis like you and I, and from that point went on into Howard University, or as he says, Howard University. He went right into Howard University and got the white man's paper behind him to kick their backsides all up in their own courtrooms and all up in their own jurisdictions on behalf of black people. And so, hell, when you look at a man like this, you got to know that their ancestors, the almighty wise creator, by whatever name you'd like to use, and the spirit of the ancestors is working within this brother. It's not luck. It's not by chance that a man like this stands up and goes to work on behalf of black people with no fear. I don't know how many of you listening under the sound of my voice have been able to be around our national chairman or have had the experience of working with our dear brother, but I'm telling you straight up as an eyewitness that this man rolls with no fear. He go where the hell he want to go. He don't give a damn who like it. He don't give a damn what the, you know, what this white folk got, what this white person got to say, or even handkerchief head Negroes got to say. It doesn't even matter. It doesn't make a difference. He goes in the spirit of our great ancestors. And of course, you already know he rolls in the spirit of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, the Black Power General. For that, we say Ashe. And we say long live the Black Power General, Dr. and the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. He rose in that spirit, a man who was trained, shaped, molded, and fashioned for over 13 years, built up from the ground up just as a student and a student organizer, built from the ground up by the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And if you know anything about the Black Power General, you know that the Black Power General was not no joke. He wasn't some Rudy Poot little guy who, you know, was just talking mess. You know, if you know anything about the Black Power General, that he was a man and is a man who made his word bond. If he said he was fighting for Black Power, you best believe that Monday through Sunday he was fighting and working on the behalf of Black Power. And so, hell, our big brother, our national chairman, rose in the same spirit. And he's always quick to remind us and tell us that, hell, he is not the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. He always tells us that. He tells you that. He say, hell, he say, I'm me. He say, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad taught me to accept my own and be myself. And so he rose in a way that is right for him and right for the times that we live in the spirit of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. And if you look at the way that the new Black Panther Party is growing and progressing, you have to bear witness, and you have to really say out even from your minds and your hearts that this little group, New Black Panther Party, and I hate to even say little group because we're all over the world, but I'm just saying this group, the New Black Panther Party, is something of a phenomenon. Hell, we're not supposed to be here, brothers and sisters. After the assault by the United States government with the COINTELPRO, the counterintelligence program that ultimately decimated the military of the Black Panther Party as raised by Chairman Bobby Seale and Minister of Defense Huey P. Newton, with the onslaught of COINTELPRO and agent provocateurs and snitches and stool pigeons and misinformation and improper propaganda and everything that them brothers and sisters faced, on top of murder after murder and assassination after assassination of the leadership, the jailing of the leadership, the exile of the leadership, the splitting and the breaking apart and the rivalry and friction that was produced in the leadership after all of that, we should not, according to their standards, be even talking about the Panther today. We shouldn't even, according to their mind, have the Panther on our brains. We shouldn't even want, according to them, to even want to do anything or have anything to do with anything of a Panther Party. But hell, you gotta know that as long as oppression exists, as long as injustice exists, as long as blacks are not in rulership, I gotta say it straight, as long as we have not taken our rightful place as the kings and queens of not only America, but hell, the whole damn planet. As long as we are not at the forefront and up top yet, hell, the new Black Panther Party must continue on and carry on. Our goal and our aim is to provide the best and to put our people at the best stations in life and to make us an organized, productive people, a revolutionary people, which that means complete constructive change, a people who are proud and bold and independent of any white supremacist ideals or white supremacist ideology, independent of anything that has to do with our destruction. And so that is our goal. And so after everything that we have faced and been through in terms of just the name Panther, and then to reemerge in 1989 as the Minister of Defense of the BPP, Minister Huey P. Newton, was assassinated. Don't get it twisted. He was assassinated. So for us to come up in 1989 when the Minister of Defense was assassinated, that is not happenstance. That is not no good luck fortune. That is not a fluke. That is aligned in the stars. That is aligned in our cause. That is the fate. You cannot destroy the Panther. Let me say that again for the government listening, for the FBI listening, for the CIA listening, for the terrorist task force, the Homeland Security, and all of these crackers and handkerchief head Negroes and puppets that are listening. You cannot destroy the Panther. The Panther is the people. The Panther is the black man and black woman, the original man and original woman. We are the beginning and we are the end. Everything that we go through now is already predetermined. It is a predetermined history and destiny that our people have written and our people have ordered. And so, hell, we go by the laws of Maat, to where when you go against the laws of justice and against the laws of balance and reciprocity, then it's automatic that it comes right back to you. So when you move on us, then the laws and the forces of that which is right and that which is good automatically move on you. And so again, when you study the way that our national chairman is building and moving and shaping this organization, you got to understand that the hands of the ancestors are working with this man and working with this brother to help guide us to safety. We have survived a 20-plus month onslaught from the Department of Just Us. I'm going to say it one more time. A 20-plus month onslaught from the Department of Just Us. And you might not think that that is, you know, a big feat, but let the DOJ, with all of its treasuries and all of its, you know, military might and all of that, let them bear down on your behind for a while and see how easy it is. But when you look at our brother handles it all with a smile. He handles it all in good spirits. He doesn't come out blasting and cursing and taking out, you know, whatever's going on you and I. When you hear from the national chairman, you hear from a man who is talking about organizing the people. He's talking about giving us a military strategy, a straight-up plan, a straight-up, if you want to use the term, a straight-up rule of engagement and an exodus for our people. And so he's talking about taking over and defeating and offsetting and uprooting white supremacy and white power. Now, for the white man that, you know, couldn't stay away from Black Power Radio, or the white woman that can't stay away, you just got a medal. I got to tell you like it is, we have every intention on uprooting and overturning white supremacy and black inferiority. We have every intention on putting so much pressure on your whitewashed system and whitewashed education and whitewashed school of thought that it doesn't exist anymore. Everything that the white man has done has been in a military fashion, even from the blowing up of the nose of our pyramids and our great ones and our sculptures, all of that, that's military. Even from when they took the books out of our libraries, that's military. When they rewrote our history and gave us our history in a whitewashed fashion, that is military. So it is important, my family, that we understand warfare. We have to do more than read The Art of War by Sun Tzu. We have to do more. Sun Tzu is good. It's a great book. Nothing wrong with Sun Tzu. But you got to go to the root and to where Sun Tzu got his information from. You got to go all the way down into Hannibal of Carthage, a black man who would cross bridges on elephants, who was a brilliant, one of the most brilliant military strategists anywhere in the world at his time. Hannibal of Carthage. Don't let them tell you nothing about no damn General Schwarzkopf and no damn General Petraeus and none of them generals. All of them generals in that kind of army have to study, if they're any kind of good generals, they got to study the black generals. They have to study the black man and the black woman. Any kind of teacher, if you're any kind of teacher, you got to take it to the root. You have to study black first. If you're in the healthcare profession, hell, you know you cannot possibly come up with any good healthcare without mentioning and talking about and studying in depth Imhotep. You cannot. And they can say what they want about taking a Hippocratic oath. They said it right. It ain't nothing but hypocrisy. And that Hippocratic oath, that Hippocratic or hypocrisies, all of that came from our brother, our ancestor, Imhotep, one of the many of our people who had put open heart surgery on the scene and put all the herbs and holistic medicines on the scene and blood transfusions on the scene. The white man wasn't doing this before Imhotep did that. But they don't talk about that in the school system. They don't talk about that on CNN. They don't talk about your greatness, black man and black woman. And so this is why it is important for a man like the national chairman to come around and wake us up and shake us up and to give us the lightning bolt and to bring us back to life. We are a dead nation right now. We are a dead nation, a fast asleep nation right now. If we were wide awake, most of what happens to us as a people, if not all of what happens to us as a people, it would not happen. It would not exist. If you and I were truly awake in the way that we were created to be awake, then a Johnny come lately just crawled up out of the caves and hillsides of Europe would not have any say-so in our society, wouldn't have any influence in our society, wouldn't have any rulership in our society. They would be in the same position that they was before they came and made their migration up out of Europe after being driven to Europe. They would have to sit at the feet of our elders. They would have to, again, learn from the tree and the root, which is the black man and the black woman. We don't think enough of ourselves, family. Many of our people, we don't think enough of ourselves. We have not yet connected ourselves to our divine cosmic destiny. We have not yet connected ourselves to our divine inheritance. We have not connected ourselves to our history and our culture and our four ways and norms of a people. We have not connected ourselves to the power of our own mind and the power of our own being. And so this is why it is easy for the people in our community now to rise up against themselves, to, you know, smoke a brother, to shoot a brother, you know, rape a sister, shoot a sister, you know, run in somebody's house and kill somebody in the house, shoot the whole family up and all this stuff that's going on. It's because we're operating off of an alien system and operating off of another man's teaching and another woman's birth skill. Let me talk about that. The black woman, we always hear it said that she is the mother of civilization, but that's more than just cliche. When you look at any historical documentation, you realize straight up that it was the black woman who was giving suck and nurturing. She was giving suck and nurturing the babies. She was giving them morality. She was teaching them how to be upright and to do what they're supposed to do. And so this was the black woman who was teaching even the white children how to do that. But you know we had it in our own culture first. You know that. And so we cannot go any further as a people without recognizing our queens, without recognizing our goddesses, without recognizing the ones who have carried us, you know, for 9 and some say 10 months, the ones who have, you know, answered our prayers through their wombs. We cannot go any further without recognizing the black woman, the mother of creation, the mother of creation, the black woman. They parade Barbie all on the screen, and they, you know, you got Nicki Minaj running around talking about she's Barbie, you know, and she's this and she's that, and I'm not singling her out, I'm just making an example. But why is she not on the screen talking about that she's Queen Hatshepsut, huh? Why is she not talking about that? As I get the message now, we expect the national chairman to come on in a second. But why is she not talking about that? She's not talking about it because, hey, we have not demanded that from her. And so without any further ado, I want to bring on now the brother that you've all been waiting for, who will make his surprise announcement and tell you what's going on. This is the general himself, our five-star general, the attorney and doctor, our national chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz. Black power, sir.
Black power, black power. I'm honored to be on. I won't certainly will not be on long tonight. I'm in the middle of some major meetings, but I wanted to give a quick shout-out to the radio listening audience and to support the good work that you all are doing. I've come out of a critical meeting. I'm sure that the CIA is following us right now, and the FBI and all kind of other enemies are hot and boiling, but it makes no difference because we came into this for revolution, and we will leave this fighting some revolution.
That's
There's
right.
no doubt about it. I'm National Minister of Justice, Imam Akbar Abdul Karim Bilal. I'm with the National Field Marshal out of Philadelphia, King Samir Shabazz. I'm with my national assistant. He is assisting me today, Hannibal Rashidine. I'm on my way to meet the National Youth Minister, Brian Allah. We have a meeting with Daruba Bin Wahad as we move forward towards the unity and the cooperation between the new Black Panther Party and the original Black Panther Party and the Black Liberation Army. The family must come together, and we will come together.
Yes,
but
sir.
I just left a meeting with His Excellency, the President of the Republic of Iran, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, who sends his greetings to you all. And he loves him some Malik Zulu Shabazz and some new Black Panther Party, I'm happy to tell you. I'm so sorry for the enemy that is on the telephone, but it's just one more notch in your end. But I was blessed to be at this meeting here in New York City. It's all kind of overcover, undercover, everything is up in this, probably sitting right there at the table. But it really makes no difference. God blessed us to have a wonderful meeting with this very humble and really ordinary yet extraordinary young man. At the meeting here was Minister Louis Farrakhan, the leader of the Nation of Islam, Imam Siraj Wahaj, and there were so many other Muslims from the Muslim world, Imam Abdul Aleem Musa, and a few other what we call Black or African-American Muslims, and certainly a whole lot of other Muslims from either the diplomatic corps or from around the country. We were blessed to be here and to make the connection. And we were blessed to speak. I was called on to speak early, and I spoke strong on behalf of the new Black Panther Party. Spoke strong against, up for President Ahmadinejad and his stance, strong stance against Zionism and the tyranny of America. Spoke strong in support of his support of the Palestinian cause and how he is a great example, not only for Muslims but non-Muslims. As I explained at the new Black Panther Party is Muslims and many non-Muslims. But he is admired by many for his stand against our common enemy. And we will receive well, receive very well, I would say here. And so that's all I'm going to say. I'm sure that's enough to be said. And we will get further into it. But we have made more international connections tonight. And there's more to the international profile, the international program of the new Black Panther Party than we know. There's more to it than what we know. Number nine. Sorry, we're trying to get to where we got to go. There's more to the international program than we know. Yes, we're Pan-Africanists, 100%, and are trying to let me be clear on that. If there's any African leader that is strong that I could get an audience with or a strategic meeting with, I will pursue it. There's no doubt about it. I did not seek out this meeting. I was invited. And so though that some will be angry, will say because, well, he's leading us into Islam, and he's a Muslim. Yeah, I'm a Muslim. Just like Malcolm X and Khalid Muhammad, I'm a Muslim. So what we have to do now, those that are listening, is try to just open up your mind a little bit, and I want you all to end the interwars within the Black movement between Muslims and non-Muslims and all of that, I would ask you to at least reconsider the bickering around that issue and understand that there is an international community of oppressed peoples that are fighting against our common enemy. And despite historical wrongs that have been done, despite historical grievances that have taken place, right now, there is an international program. There is much truth to be gained from what we call internationalism or an international united front of the oppressed against our oppressor, otherwise known as the white man. And so I don't want to go all deep into it. I just wanted to make that announcement that the New Black Panther Party has taken up another notch in its international relations, its international respect, its international connections. We have been received well, and we will get further into it at another time. I'm headed right now to meet with another Muslim. For those that don't like Muslim, well, he's a Muslim. But he's also one of the greats in the Black Panther Party, Black Liberation Army, Black Panther 21. His name is Daruba Ben Wahad, who we will hear from on these radio broadcasts very, very soon. I'm going to talk to him about October 15th. And we're calling you all to New York, October 15th, regardless to religion, regardless to where you're from, as long as you're for some revolution and some Black Panther, you come on out. October 15th here in New York City at Harriet Tubman. Is that right? We will be at Harriet Tubman. Our young national assistant has locked it down. And so we're going to get into the details. But again, I say based on this, just know that we're making serious and real moves. The New Black Panther Party is being looked up to. Your little brother or your brother, your chairman, Malik Zulu Shabazz, absolutely has respect of the generation that's older than him, with him, and younger than him. And so let's put our heads together. And let's be strong. And let's go after building up this revolution here in the United States of America and throughout the world. President of Iran spoke strongly against capitalism on many points that are absolutely congruent with our 10-point program. He spoke over and over against capitalism and really against the Islamization of everything and the building of alliances between Muslims and non-Muslims. And so I'm not going to say anything else other than that. We're here. I'm sure we're under heavy surveillance right now, but it don't make no difference. We're getting ready to do us some serious revolution in the hills of North America. I'm going to get off this phone so I can make progress. I turn you back into the hands of our Minister of Communication, who's doing a hell of a job, and all of you, step up your work and work triple time, overtime. Work hard, hard, hard right now. Stay in unity. Cease the fighting and bickering amongst one another. We have been given something special. Your mission, your leadership, where we are, what we're going through, where we're going to is something very special right now. Let's capture the moment and build further. Black Power, love you all.
Black Power, love you too, sir. And there it is, brothers and sisters. That is the national chairman of the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. He's in motion on the road, family, on the road right now, both physically and spiritually, mentally, all kind of ways. On the road, he's going to meet with our family from the New York 21, the Panther 21, our brother Daruba Ben Wahad. And if you don't know about brother Daruba, man, Google that name. Google the name of brother Daruba Ben Wahad. Google that. He's a man who, you know, went through shootouts, ups and downs. I mean, all kind of battles with the state. And he's still standing. All kind of battles with the pig. He's politically astute, a hell of a student. And so again, family, as we said in the beginning, we're linking this thing up for the enemies and the naysayers, and for those of you who want to separate the New Black Panther Party from the BPP, from the movement organized by Chairman Bobby Seale and Minister Huey P. Newton. I'm gonna tell you, you're gonna be disappointed. You're gonna be disappointed. We already announced to you a little over a month now ago that our national chairman had spoke with our brother Bobby Seale, and they spoke for quite some time, and cleared up misconceptions. They had misconceptions that were fueled by the enemy. There was misconceptions on our brother's behalf, Brother Bobby Seale, that was fueled by the enemy. And so he is given the opportunity to talk now to the national chairman for himself, and they're working that thing out. And so again, to the disgust and the dismay of our oppressor and our enemy, the revolution is here. The revolution, I'm telling y'all, is here. It ain't going to come over the horizon. The revolution is going on right now. The revolution is happening right now. And so if you're sitting at home, as they taught us years ago, waiting on a mystery God to produce revolution, the revolution will never come. That God that you're looking for is in you, black man and black woman. The Black Power General taught us, and the National Chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, champions the same call, that God, that creative force and energy that you're looking for, it exists right there within you. Stop waiting for a mystery God to change your condition. Change your own condition. We could change the condition of our black community, really, within a 42-hour period if we were united. If we were truly united, we could change what was going on. I mean, hell, look at the Mau Mau. The Mau Mau drove everything white out of the city and out of the country. Everything. And they organized. I'm just throwing one example. There's plenty of examples. And they did that in a little bit of time. And I'm just saying this, that with all the technology that exists, with all the information that exists, with the will and determination of the people, there is no way in 2010 that we have not made up our minds to join on and support the new Black Panther Party in its efforts against this machine and against the beast. If you haven't made up your minds yet, it may be because you may be a little afraid, or many of our people are scared about, we're timid about organizations and things like this. You cannot organize without having a righteous organization. Revolution is organization. It is a process. It is a process that is, that goes until its eventual completion. And so, hell, you have to get involved in the process. That doesn't mean that you have to do what I'm doing, or I have to do exactly what you're doing, or tie my shoe the same way you tie your shoe. Doesn't mean that. It simply means that you're willing to get behind the 10-point platform, that you want freedom, huh? That you want full employment for your people, that you want the basic needs, decent housing, that you want decent health care for your people, preventative and maintenance, that you agree that we have no stake in the white man's military system, and that we have no business fighting a war overseas that does not benefit the black nation. As the brother Muhammad Ali said back in the day, he said, hell, ain't no Viet Cong ever called him nigger, so why would he fight for the white man, okay? So I'm saying again, we in the same situation. They shipping our babies and shipping our men and our families, even the women, 9,000 miles away overseas, shipping you away to fight in a war and fight in wars that it has been proven was built on a false basis and on a false pretense, all right? And so people are losing their lives fighting for the white power structure on the basis of a false pretense and the basis of an absolute lie. And so if you have that much skill, if you have that much fight, if you have that much fearlessness, why not take your weapon? Why not take your strength? Why not take your gumption and your heart and put that into the torn ghettos of North America? Put that into the broken down and the downtrodden black man in the hoods and the hells of North America. If you that tough and you that bad that you are willing to, risk getting your arm blown off and willing to risk getting your leg blown off, you're willing to risk running over a landmine, and you're willing to risk all that you're going to risk fighting for the white man's cause 9,000 miles away, we ask you and we tell you today that you should Build the black army for yourself. Build the black army for yourself. Join on with the black army that's right here with you. If you that cold and that bold, if you are an organizer and you know in heart that you could make a difference right where you are, that you could make a change right where you are, that you could change whatever's going on right outside of your windows, if your idea would just be brought into fruition, organize with the new Black Panther Party. If you are a writer and you have the skill of the pen and you have the skill of the pencil, then organize in a revolutionary fashion with the new Black Panther Party, that we may put proper propaganda and flood the ghettos and the hoods of North America and the world, not just, you know, our hoods, but all throughout the world, that we may flood the world with proper propaganda. If you have the skill and talent of being an artist and you come in the spirit of a brother like Emory Douglas of the Black Panther Party, if you can draw and you are a cartoonist and you can make revolutionary cartoons, then we need your assistance. Hell, it's way better than, you know, to do that than to have your babies looking at a homosexual South Park and these other homosexual cartoons that are out there, and these racist undertones promoted by Disney and other networks. If you are a cartoonist and you can draw, you can make revolutionary cartoons within the new Black Panther paper. You can make your own revolutionary cartoon that we'll push and promote and help you get out there. If you can make movies and you're able to direct and you can write scripts, why not make a revolutionary script? It always cracked me up to hear the Black Power General, Dr. Khaled Abdul Muhammad, talk about him going to the movie theater and how they didn't have any revolutionary movies and how the movies didn't have enough blood, didn't have enough killing of the oppressing of the white man. He would always say that he wanted to see a revolutionary movie. And so if you have that kind of spirit, you know, because when you look at our movies in Hollywood or Hollywood, when you look at our movies, the black man is always getting killed. And damn near every movie in Hollywood, the black man is always the first to go. I don't care if it's a comedy, if it's a romantic movie, if it's a drama, if it's an action-packed thriller, no matter what the movie sequence or movie title is or the movie production, and damn near every movie in Hollywood, they're subliminally telling you and physically telling you on the screen that the black man is the first to go. So why not change that in a revolutionary fashion and be a revolutionary movie producer, a revolutionary movie director, and turn the tables in your own movie? As the Honorable Dr. Khaled Muhammad say, have the blood just coming all out the screen if you want to do that. You know, why not do that? If you are a doctor and you have, you know, skill in the medical field, in this battle for freedom, liberation, justice, equality, and righteousness, we are not going to be able to fight this battle and then get injured and find ourselves in the white man's hospital. Let's talk real, family. Let's talk real, brothers and sisters. In this battle for liberation and freedom, we're not going to be able to say, okay, time out, and then take ourselves to the white man's hospital. We have to have enough of our people that understand about health care, that understand about first aid, that understand about CPR, that understand how to treat wounds, how to treat snake bites, how to treat spider bites, how to treat bullet wounds, how to treat infections, how to treat stab wounds. You know, we need people that have medical skill, that know how to treat any ailment that goes on with our people. This is real life. And so if you are skilled in the medical world and in the medical profession, then we extend our hand to you to come and help build the Revolutionary Army for the liberation and freedom of black people. We have a place for any black man and black woman in the new Black Panther Party. It doesn't matter what your background is. You heard the national chairman talk about that he is building in a revolutionary fashion regardless to your religious background. We're not asking you to be of any religion. Hell, the real religion anyway is revolution, because religion is whatever you do with your life. Religion is whatever you do on a day-to-day basis with your life. And so regardless of what label you want to put on yourself, which is your business, we're saying we must be about the business of complete constructive change. And so if you can help us in this effort and us to uplift our people, our fallen black man and black woman, we need your help. I know I didn't name everything, every field. I don't have that kind of time. But, hell, you know what you can bring to the table. Bring your talent. Bring your time. Bring your effort. Bring your thoughts. Bring yourself to the table of revolution. Hell, like the national chairman said, regardless to what go on, regardless to what type of oppression, regardless to what the odds are, we are already the victors. We are already promised the victory. It's already been written by our people and foretold and foresaw by our elders in our own nation. They hell, it's already been told. We're already, you know, the victors. Yeah, we just got to act out our part. But it's not going to happen by no abracadabra. It ain't going to happen by, you know, a wave of a magic wand. The white man has not left the black nation alone in 6,000 years at any time by the hand of a magic wand. The only time that their nation backs up off of the black nation is when the revolutionary puts his revolutionary foot in the white man's behind. And so, hell, it's the same thing in 2010. As much brutality as we face, as many water hoses as our people have faced, as much terror and torture as our people have faced, it is high time now that our people now begin to flex their own muscle. No longer walking around with our heads down, walking around looking at the ground and looking sad, but now walking tall, now walking, you know, strong, now walking dignified. Don't just walk dignified because our brother Barack Hussein is in office. Yeah, that's something that you can hold your head up to if you want to. At the very least, we give him a hand clap for just having a black woman and having, a black family. So, yeah, we give him a hand clap for that, but don't just hold your head up for that. Hold your head up because you are the first and the last. You are the start of it all. In your DNA and in your genetic coding is the answer that unlocks even the universe, black man and black woman. We are a powerful people. We are a powerful people, but we have been placed to sleep. We'll take a call. 910-703, you're on the air with Black Power Radio. You just heard from the national chairman. Your question or your comment, Black Power. 910-703, you're on the air. All right. No question or comment. I guess we just making sure you're on the line. So, again, we are a powerful people, family. Powerful people. We'll take another call. 214-431, you're on the air. You just heard from the national chairman. Your question or your comment, Black Power. Yes, sir. You're on the air, Black Power.
Hey, I'd just like to say Black Power to everybody, and it's good news to hear that our chairman is making the network connection to hook the old back up with the new. That makes us bigger and stronger. That's good news to pass on to the Dallas, Texas chapter and all of the southern region. That's all I really wanted to say, Black Power, Brother Sean. Appreciate everything you're doing. You're a strong brother.
Appreciate you.
Yeah, we need brothers like you, and I'm just listening to you, how you just holding this radio show down, and you real strong, and I'm real proud of you, and Black Power, brother.
Hey, Black Power to you, brother. Before you go, I mean, you know, what's your thoughts? I know you said that it makes us stronger, but, I mean, can you see the way that the ancestors are guiding the national chairman, Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz?
Yes, sir. Actually, while he was speaking, I said not only the ancestors, the creator has a better plan than the white man. You don't know what you thought you was tearing up. It was all just a matter of time to be put back together again. So that's what I see. I see the black man on his way up. That's what I see. And I see us hooking up with our mothers and our fathers, the teachers of the party, the experienced brothers of the party, the warriors of the party. And so, like I said, that's good news to hear and to pass on, Black Power.
Yes, sir. Black Power, my brother, Brother Drew. Hey, and listen, make sure you pass it on. As they say, tell a neighbor, tell a friend. Tell a neighbor, tell a friend. Tell a neighbor, tell a friend that the Panther lives on. Tell a neighbor, tell a friend that J. Edgar Hoover was wrong. J. Edgar Hoover missed. J. Edgar Hoover and everything that he threw at us, it never, ever, ever worked the way that they thought it would work. They never thought that in 2010 we'd be talking about the new Black Panther Party. And let me say this, that the only difference now, the only real major difference now is that we're going straight up for black. The original Black Panther Party started out completely black nationalist. I don't know how many of us really know this, but it started out completely black nationalist. It was straight up black nationalist. And really, at its core and its root, continued to be black nationalist. And the only time that there was any shift or change in that paradigm was when it was politically expedient, when they were trying to, you know, move the party forward. And it was Eldridge Cleaver, the National Minister of Information, Eldridge Cleaver, who suggested to Minister Huey P. Newton to align themselves with, you know, some other, what they called white radicals, or, you know, white people who supported what they called the mother country. And so that's what happened. And so it wasn't because Minister Huey P. Newton was so ecstatic about linking up with the white man. They was going off the example and the advice of the Minister of Information, National Minister of Information, Eldridge Cleaver, which ultimately, you know, whether you say right or wrong, that's just the history of that. And so the new Black Panther Party is straight up black. I mean, you will not see us, you know, in no magazine, you know, and I know Brother Drew had reported on this the last show. You will not see any official, authentic new Black Panther Party national official, nor local official, nor representative, nor just rank and file Panther. You will not see us all hugged up with no white folks, hand in hand, talking about we won and we won in the same, and we representing black power. That's not the way that we roll. We're talking about a nation of our own. We are specifically interested in black people. We will not ever get on. You will not ever hear me get on this broadcast or any broadcast in the world and tell my people that it's okay to sweetheart with white women. You will never hear me, anybody who is an official, authentic representative of the new Black Panther Party, tell you that the white man is no longer your enemy, and that all of a sudden it's us and we the ones that's doing it to ourselves. You will never hear me authenticate that ever, because as I always say, you never blame the web, you always blame the damn spider. And so they would love for us to blame the web, which is black people. We've gotten tangled up in the web, and so we're acting in a genocidal and menticidal and fratricidal manner and self-destructing, but it's off of their education. It's off of their nurturing. It's off of the white man's guidance. I'm trying to break this down. We wasn't like this. We didn't just do this on a natural basis. We did this once we came into contact with the colonizer, with the oppressor. That's when it happened. And so, you know, there was a time back in the day when you would hear somebody on the news and, you know, there'd be a shooting and they'd say, you know, the whole family was shot up. And we would immediately say, that was a white family. That was a white man. And now you begin to hear this stuff happening in the black community. It's because we have learned the behavior. We've taken on the behaviors of the oppressor. And whenever you have a people who are colonized, whenever a people are colonized, and if they're colonized long enough, they begin to take on the traits of the colonizer. One more time. If they're colonized long enough, which for colonization, for those who don't know what that means that when your system of thought, or when your power base is overrun by another power base, if it's overrun long enough, you will begin to function under the authority and under the power of another existing power. And so that is exactly what is happening as we speak right now to our people. Our people were the victims of white power. We were and are the victims of white supremacy. And so as we send our babies into the killing fields, into the schools, all they learn about is black. You only learn about, you know, pardon me, all they learn about is white. And so you only learn about black once you get up into, you know, this person was a slave, and you get up into the Reconstruction and all this, but you don't hear about our greatness in Nubia, our greatness in Kemet, our greatness in Kush, our greatness in the whole mother country, and our greatness all around the world and all around the globe. You don't hear about none of that in school. So how can it be properly education? How can it be proper education when the actual cornerstone of the whole educational system and process is not even being talked about? The white man wouldn't know anything without the black man or black woman. They wouldn't. They had to literally go and steal the books out of our libraries, family. Literally go and steal the books out of our libraries in order to get certain knowledge to even build up certain aspects of Europe and certain aspects of Rome and certain aspects of Greece. And even in them building up Rome and building up Greece and building up all that they built up, they were still savage. They still didn't know how to bury their dead. They still didn't know how to cook their food. They still, even today, many of them still like to meat raw with blood dripping all down the side of it, uncooked. The meat pink is all pink, get out. They still like it the same way today. They still run around on all fours in their spare time and run around and act like dogs. They still allow the dog to kiss them all in the mouth, and you see the dog all in the car and all this. And see, you even see our people doing this now. It is because we're trying to imitate an alien culture. It is because we're trying to now be like Paris Hilton. Let me take a pause and just talk on Paris Hilton, and I hope to, by the Almighty Creator and the spirit of the ancestors, that this message gets out to her. I ain't got no love for you, Paris Hilton, and I'm going to tell you straight up that if you were not in a white supremacist power structure, there is no way that you would have had 0.8 of cocaine in a bag that fell out in front of a police lieutenant, and you would have got off. If you were in a just society, you would have faced the same kind of wrath that many of our people who have done way less face right now as we speak. And we don't have no love for your blonde, blue-headed, and nappy-headed, nasty self. And I don't say nappy in a sense of black. I mean in a sense of dirty and filthy. I love a nappy head. I'm talking about your stringy, nasty head, Paris Hilton. We ain't got no love for you. We don't have no love for you, Eminem. We ain't got no love for the white man. I'm trying to tell y'all, there ain't no love for the other side. There ain't no love for the other side. We got to quit being weak and quit tiptoeing through the tulips. The Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad taught us that somebody has to be strong. Somebody has to be strong. He say everybody cannot tiptoe through the tulips. Somebody got to be strong. Well, there's a whole organization that is dedicated to that spirit. And we are committed to our people that we will 1,000% never tiptoe through the tulips, and we will always bring it to you strong. She had an eighth of cocaine, an eighth percent of cocaine in a bag, an eighth of cocaine. I'm talking about this ain't even marijuana, this ain't even weed. This is cocaine in a bag that fell out of her purse that she originally, you know what I mean, wasn't even going to cop to. And it fell out in front of the pig. I want y'all to hear me, families. I'm just trying to show you an example of how this system is not in your favor. It fell out in front of a pig. And she's not even facing jail time. Now, you know, if this was you and I, if this was you and I, hell, you know what time it is. You know what time it is. And so I'm just straight up saying, ain't no love for the other side. We must do for ourselves and stop imitating an alien culture. We must begin to find pride within our own culture. We must begin to find the joy of being a black man and a black woman. Don't walk around thinking that black people were swinging from trees with bones in their nose. We ain't never swing from no tree and had no bones in our nose. That was when we, again, participated in alien cultures. We didn't swing from no trees. It was the white man in the caves and hillsides of Europe that swung from the tree. Huh? It was the white man who was in the caves and hillsides of Europe that was saying ooga booga. It was the white man who was scared of fire. Huh? It was them. And so here we have to begin to have pride and be proud of who we are and stop imitating an alien culture. We're making moves. We're making moves, and it is up to you to decide if you're going to get involved in a revolutionary fashion. Hell, if you got mad, you know, that I'm saying something about Paris Hilton, maybe it's because I'm talking about somebody that you consider a celebrity. You know what I mean? But we got to talk about Paris Hilton. I talked about Nicki Minaj before the chairman came on. Look at the sister. Look at what's going on with our sister, Little Kim. I mean, look at our black, quote-unquote, entertainers. They are trapped up in an alien culture, and this is what the youth is, you know, guiding itself after. And so it's my job as a revolutionary, and your job as a revolutionary or possibly a parent, it's your job to destroy that idol in their head. It's your job to begin to put up all kind of black facts in your house. You ain't even got to start in no massive world way. Start right in your home in a revolutionary fashion. If your child is walking around with a white girl on the backpack, take that backpack back to the store and get that child with somebody black on the back of the backpack. If your child's coloring book is full of white Cinderellas and all that kind of stuff, take that back and go get you a black coloring book for your child. Begin to teach your children. We got to teach our children, if we're not now, teach them black facts. Teach them black history, not just in February, all year round. Talk to them about the black inventors. Talk about the black man that invented, you know, the filament and the light bulb. Talk about, you know, those who have done great things for our people. You got to start right in our homes. And from right there in our homes, it can spread to the neighborhood. So this is how we can start the freedom schools, brothers and sisters, if you don't have one in your community. You must begin to separate yourself from the oppressor. You must begin to think about and actually act on separation from the white man, straight up. I don't give a damn if you got a job or none of that stuff, because all of that stuff will fall as soon as the country doesn't have the ability to print any more dollars to support itself. The wealth of this country is only because the country, the quote-unquote country, only prints its own money. It prints its own money, so it's able to print and keep printing and keep printing, and it goes further and further in debt, so it just prints more money and prints more money. But hell, that did not erase the debt. And so what I'm saying is, brothers and sisters, that we must begin to do for ourselves. We'll take another call. Your question, your comment. You just heard from the national chairman, the new Black Panther Party for Self-Defense, 502-689. You're on the air with Black Power Radio. Black Power.
Black Power, brother.
Yes, sir. How you doing, sir? Your question, your comment.
I just have a comment. You know, everything that you're saying is true, brother. And it is good that the Black Panther Party and the new Black Panther Party and the original Black Panther Party is coming together, because that's a sign of victory when the enemy don't want to see us come together and they want to keep us, you know, separated where they can kill two birds with one stone. So, you know, we must come together in unity and bring our people together and educate our children and educate our people and clean up our community. So once we do that, you know, it's going to be then the white man is going to start shaking and getting afraid, because you see the black man trying to rise up and get up out of the condition that we are in.
Absolutely, brother. Absolutely. I mean, we have to. We have to. We've been in this mess for over 400 years, Black. You know what I mean? 400 mm-hmm. years. And we still, I mean, you look right now, like I said, you got more people on television, you know, and so-called people of well-to-do snatching up, you know, white women for wives and things like this. What is wrong with the black woman? There ain't nothing wrong with the black woman. The black woman is the most beautiful woman of any woman on the face of the planet Earth. The black woman is the most beautiful of any of the women that exist on the face of the planet Earth. And I dare to say, brother, that the only reason why these Negroes is running around snatching their white women is only because of self-hatred. It ain't because they're so much better. Can't be.
That's right.
What do you think?
Well, I say that, you know, that the black man, you know, he can't understand the black woman. So the first thing he do is he runs off to the white woman because the white woman is one of the most wickedest, but the weakest woman on the face of this earth. And he, you know, like you said, he has self-hate. So the first thing he say, well, I'm going to go get me a white woman because she's going to treat me better because he don't know how to deal with that black woman. And he don't recognize his own power. He don't recognize that he's God of the universe. You know, and he don't recognize that she's the goddess of the universe. So basically he runs off and go get him a white woman to end up what ended up happening. A skinhead comes along, end up hanging him from a tree, end up beating him up, and now he's crying, but he can't blame nobody but himself because he should have stuck with his black woman and he should have left Becky alone.
Straight up. I mean, I don't know if it's just me, but they smell like German Shepherd when they get wet. Have you ever smelled that? They literally smell like a German Shepherd when they get wet. And why would you want that for a wife?
Yeah, I don't understand why brothers would want that for a wife anyway. You know, smelling like fried, but smell like bologna. You know, I don't understand that either. You know. They just, you know, our brothers are lost. You know, they got to have Becky. You know, if they don't have Becky, where would they go at in life? You know, you got this beautiful, beautiful black woman just everywhere. You know, and you better go pick your old flat booty, pale skin, behind white woman, you know, two-legged dog before you pick your beautiful African princess.
Straight up, and it goes for the black woman too. It goes for the black woman. Don't go snatching up the white man. You know what I mean? Like many of our sisters think that they're really getting something when they're dating a white man. I mean, they walk around with their head, you know, all in the air like they, you know what I mean, have really done something. I mean, but you get that white man behind closed doors, and it's just as much abuse, psychological trauma, damage, you know what I mean? And then even in terms of a relationship, the root word is relate. So how can the oppressed physically or mentally or spiritually relate to the oppressor, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's just, you know, I just, you know, the black woman is lost and she's angry at the black man, and she thinks that when she gets a white man that she got heaven. She thinks that she get a white man. You know, how can you, you know, lay down with your slave master's daughter who raped and murdered and killed your grandmother, your grandfather, your grandfather and all of them, and then you lay up with your enemy? What would you think if a Jew would bring home a hit, bring somebody from the Hitler family and say, this is my date? They would not accept that, but we as black people,
not at all.
We accept, you know, bringing, you know, a white man home to our house. But then what I don't understand in these brothers, when they give us these white people, they can't go home to their grandmother. They can't go home to their father. They can't go home to their cousin, because they won't even accept us, but we quit to accept them. And we have to stop that, because that is, you know, meant to be spiritually destroying our race all together. And then we don't put an end to that, and we don't stop and start building a black nation and start building and start having black children and black babies by our black women and start loving and treating our black women with respect, then ain't nobody going to respect
them. Straight up, brother. And I thank you for your comment, brother. Thank you for everything that you said, because you're right on time. And always, brother, we leave you with black power.
Black power, bro.
I mean, it is. I mean, it's an epidemic, family. It's an epidemic. I don't want this to be lost in what our national chairman said, but I'm just trying. I'm talking on the black family. We cannot build a black nation, you know what I mean, with a white woman or a white man on our arm. You cannot do it. I mean, you won't. The babies would be mixed up or whatever, and then, you know, of course the black germ, the black gene is dominant. We know all of that. But I'm saying this, the black woman has suffered with the black man. The black woman, even to this day, as low down as many of us as men can be to our black woman, she still hopes and waits on the day to where the black man will come to his senses and return to his rightful position. I mean, didn't we learn anything with what happened with Tiger Woods? Did you learn anything with what happened with Kobe Bryant? I mean, come on, man. It's like, you know, look, we must return to our own family. The black man should be with the black woman. I can't cut it no other way than that. The black man should be with the black woman. The black woman should be with the black man. I'm just telling you straight up. It ain't no way other way around that. I mean, you got to build our nation, and we're destroying our seeds, family. You're weakening the seed. You're weakening the seed. And then the new thing now is to, you know, for the black man to grab up an Asian woman, because now, you know, they want to say that the Asian woman is supposed to be more docile or more submissive to the man. Let me say this. If the man is doing what he's supposed to do, then the woman going to naturally respect the truth that's coming out that man's mouth anyway. She's going to respect the righteousness that's coming out of his existence and his being anyway. If he's acting like a fool, ain't no smart black woman going to just roll with a black man that's acting like a fool. And it's straight up the same way. Ain't no smart, intelligent black man going to roll with nobody that's acting like a fool. And so we're supposed to be able to bring the best out of each other. We have to bring the best out of each other. Right now, this society teaches us to bring the worst out of each other. You know, we still suffer from the Willie Lynch syndrome and all of that. So we bring the worst out of each other in general cases. Many times, that's why, you know, the marriages are not working the way that they should, because we are bringing the worst out of each other. But we have to begin to build on the best part and begin to bring the best out of each other. You will not find a stronger woman in the world, black man, than the black woman. And black woman, you will not find a stronger man in the world than a wide awake, revolutionary black man. The white man made niggas. The white man made Negroes. The white man made coons. The white man made colored people. The white man made all of that. Hell, but from the Creator, we are gods and goddesses. We are gods and goddesses. You can't have the God without having the goddess. You can't have the goddess without having the God. We are, you know, twin halves of the same pair. You need the black man and you need the black woman. Now, I mean, we got to return to our own. All of this goes hand in hand with nation building. And so as our national chairman said, revolution is kicking off. It's kicked off in America. It's on now. For the enemies listening, it's been on, and we're just making it even more known that it's on. It's on, and we will not stop until we're free. It will not stop until the black woman is respected and protected and honored in the community and throughout the world. We will not. There's no other culture in the world that allows their women to be so mistreated like the black man allows his woman to be mistreated. There's no other culture in the world. Hell, even the Arab culture, they'll wrap their woman all the way up. I'm not saying this is what you should do or what you shouldn't do. I'm just saying what they do. They you can't even see their women. They put their women off in the back somewhere so you can't Google and Google and look all at their women, okay? And I'm just saying that our people, you know, we have to learn to do better by each other. We have to begin to respect and protect our own woman. You know, you have to now begin to cultivate the goddess that's in the black woman, that's buried in the black woman, and cultivate the God that's buried in the black man. How can we be the mothers and fathers of civilization if we won't cultivate that which allows us to be mother and father? If there's no father in the black community, it is because there is a war that has been declared on our people. If there's no mother in the black community, it's because there is a war that is declared on our people. And so if you're in war, here, we got to fight back. You got to fight back. So if you're snatching up a white woman and you're snatching up a white man, you helping the opposition. You helping the opposition. If you're snatching up a white woman and snatching up a white man, or you snatching up really something other than your own, you are helping the opposition. We must begin to support our own. The black man and woman are meant for each other. I don't care who it is. I don't care who it is. If it's a righteous black man and a righteous black woman, they're meant for each other, and we're meant for each other. We're meant to be together. We're twins, and so we're joined at the hip. And I just want to say, you know, as a black man to the black woman listening, we love you, black woman, and we want you to return home to us. We apologize for being fools, and for, you know, and on behalf of us as black men, we're gonna do better. If you stick around long enough and stay up underneath the new Black Panther Party, every black man under the sound of my voice will either be made better or be ran the hell out from away from us. And enough, as the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad taught us, enough Negro stuff. Time is out for the Negro stuff. The Negro stuff, it should be dead now. Enough of it. We've done the Negro stuff long enough, and it has not got us anywhere. You know, we're still carrying on slave culture, still acting like coons and buffoons, still proud that, you know, some of us still proud we dated white women and dated white men. We're acting like Negroes. Hell, enough Negro stuff. Enough Negro stuff. Now is that time. Right now is that time to make up your mind on who you're going to be. What side of this battle you're going to be in. It'd be a sad day here to look to my right or to my left, and I'm going to war against the opposition. And as the brother said on the phone, it's Becky to my right or Becky to my left, and I'm trying to fight against the white power structure. For those of you who you know, are in them kind of relationships, let's just be real. Do you honestly think that when you are pressing the white power structure on reparations and you pressing the power structure on that which is due for black people, do you honestly think that Becky or Heather or your white mate, do you honestly think that they're going to stand with you against their own nation? Hell no. And even if you had 1% that did, they're not going to stand against their own nation, against everything. I'm for the total uprootment of white supremacy. I'm telling you straight, the total uprootment of white supremacy. There ain't no compromise on that. There ain't no compromise in a revolution. We got to uproot it all. And so we have to help, family. That's the point I'm trying to make here. We have to help our general, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. We have to help him and help ourselves. It's not even just about him. It's about helping ourselves. We have to help ourselves. If right now in your community there's young brothers and sisters standing on the corner, you know, aimlessly not doing anything with their lives, guess what? Those are your babies. Guess what? Those are your teenagers. Guess what? Those are your children. We are one nation, all right? So guess what? We have to take charge of our post. Take charge of our post and all black nation property in view. Take charge of your neighborhoods. If your neighborhood is dirty, hell, get the broom out. Get the rake out. Get the shovel out. Get the garbage bags out. Put you some gloves on. Clean up the neighborhoods. Stop allowing the black community to be dirty and filthy and allowing the white community or the quote-unquote affluent communities to exist in a clean fashion. Stop it. And stop your people from continuing to dirty up the neighborhood. We got to clean up our act. As the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad teach us, we got to wake up, clean up, and stand up. We have to wake up, clean up, and stand up. And so that is on a physical, spiritual, mental, and moral a scale with my eyes. So we got to wake up and clean up. And so if the neighborhood is dirty, if we're living in filth, if your home is dirty, if you're living in filth, clean it up, damn it. It's time to be a revolutionary. It ain't nothing revolutionary about living in filth. Ain't nothing revolutionary about living in poverty. Ain't nothing revolutionary about living paycheck to paycheck and you don't know how in the hell you're going to make it tomorrow. Hell, if you believe in the revolution fully, then you got to know how to live off the land. You got to know how to have a trade. You got to know how to bring some income in. You got to know how to fix up the car. You got to know how to do things for yourself. You got to know how to make it against the opposition to build for black. A revolutionary has to be able to meet and overcome whatever's in the pathway of progress. And so, hell, we have to begin to wake up, clean up, and stand up. Begin again. Begin community organizations that are dedicated to cleaning up the neighborhoods, dedicated to police patrols, dedicated to mentorship programs, dedicated to free breakfast programs when needed, dedicated to free clothes, free food, free shelter, dedicated to helping the homeless, dedicated to HIV and AIDS testing, dedicated to sickle cell anemia and cancer testing, that's dedicated to diabetes testing. We must begin to organize groups that are dedicated to teaching about the true history of black people and history of black people, that we know that we're great people. We must begin to organize it in a revolutionary fashion. Brothers and sisters, that's not going to stand for the cooning. The Black Power General in these last few minutes taught us that there will come a time when you would see somebody cooning on stage. He said it like this. He said you would see somebody cooning on stage. He said there must be a squad that comes in, he said, on roller skates and just rolls on the stage and starts whooping the hell out of everybody on the stage. You must begin to put an end to the cooning. Along with the stop snitching movement, there must become a stop cooning movement, a no cooning movement. You know, enough of the cooning, enough of the scratching where you don't itch, enough of the laughing when ain't nothing funny, huh? Enough of the shucking and the jive and the playing. See, this is a time now that you're living in. It's a time for serious organizers, a time for serious warriors, a time for serious revolutionaries, and I mean male and female. Stop the sexism. If you're involved in the sexism, stop the sexism. You cannot disrespect a woman who is in the same revolution as you. You cannot. That is your comrade. That is your ally in struggle. Stop the sexism. And you can if you're doing it on the reverse end. If you're disrespecting a man and male bashing and being a part of a white feminist movement that was designed to break up the family, stop the sexism. You cannot disrespect a man who is in the same revolutionary movement as you. That is your comrade. That is your ally. That is your brother and your sister, your kith and your kin. In this revolutionary movement, we got to go all the way back to black, brothers and sisters. We got to go all the way back, and we got to take our minds back. And we ain't talking rhetoric. It's bigger than this radio show. I'm talking about what we're going to do once the radio show ends, once we decide that we, you know, off of the air, off of the phones, off of the computer, once we are now back into this illusion that they call a real world, what will you do with your time? All we're asking you to do is build up a black nation, however you can. Stop supporting the power structure and everything that we do and begin to put away and store away things that will help out your own people. Aren't we tired of this condition? Haven't we been in this condition long enough? The people all over the world are waiting for us in North America to get up right there in Africa. If you're a true Pan-Africanist, a true Pan-Africanist already knows that our people in the mother country are waiting for us to get up. They're waiting for us to get up. We're just disconnected. They're waiting on international trade with us. Huh? They're waiting to supply us with the necessary things that we need to establish ourselves, but there's no connection. There's no unity. We're disunited. Okay? And so you have a sprinkle of a few that have gotten a hint, and they've began now to get involved in international trade and commerce. And they're beginning to now develop relations with the mother country and relations with revolutionary countries, revolutionary indigenous countries right here in North America. We got to get the hint, brothers and sisters. If you see the white man on TV telling you, and you see the power structure on TV telling you that they don't have no jobs, the stock market is unstable, that you're now in a double dip depression, as they say. A double dip depression in terms of economic power, a double dip depression, that means that the dollar is broken, it's fallen, it has no value. that the only value it has is whatever the country gives it because it prints its own money through the federal banks and federal reserves. And so what will we do? That's the remaining question. What will we do? Will we sit by as Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz and Sean Kwali or whoever in the new Black Panther Party bust our ass to get our people free? Will we cheerlead and have Black Power pom-poms, you know? Will we cheerlead and say, good job, let me pat you on the back and, you know, go ahead, brother? Or will you get in the game? See, there's nothing I hate worse than a damn commentator. And in this case, there's nothing I hate worse outside of my enemy than a Black Power commentator. Y'all know about the Black Power commentators. Everybody telling you what you should do and what should be done and what's got to happen. And then, damn, when it's come time for battle, you don't see them no damn where. They ain't in the field. Not only are they not in the field, they ain't even by a damn piece of grass. They not in the field. They not on the front lines. They nowhere to be found. And then once the battle is over, then they come out and they talk strong, you know, and talk like they're really moving something. It's time out for that, as Eldridge used to say. It's time out for that. It's time now for those that are serious, for those that are serious and know that this beast will not be defeated by just talking and theory. You know, it's time now for those to organize and then begin to practice. As we used to say, as the Panther Party of the 60s used to say, observation and participation. It's now time to apply your theory and put that into practice. If you have a program like the 10-point program, the 10-point program is being driven into practice. Our national chairman will not allow us, any of his helpers or anybody in this organization, to claim the 10-point program if you're not willing to work the 10-point program in your city. I say that's a wise general right there. You're not going to be able to do it. I'm talking to even the new Black Panthers listening under the sound of my voice. You're not going to be able to claim and represent the 10-point program that was initiated in the spirit of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey on down through the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad on down to the Black Panther Party, the 1960s to 2010 with the new Black Panther Party. You cannot claim the 10-point platform if you're not willing to establish that Black Power movement in your own cities. And this goes to the supporters and to the friends and those that are on the fence. My job is to shake you off of the fence. We don't got time to be on the fence. What are you on the fence for? Either you're on the fence or the black side, or either you're on the fence or the white side. There ain't no integration. Integration was a trick. Integration was one of the biggest tricks played on the black nation. It's one of the biggest tricks played on the black nation. We did not make positive gain, substantial positive gain by integration. We suffer, and we have suffered because of integration, because what it did was lull us to sleep to where now we think that because we can go into the same school or, you know, be in the same place in the same establishment, we can sit at the lunch counter, we can drink out of a water fountain that doesn't say for coloreds only. Now, you know, that makes us think that we're equal as a people. We think that we're equal when they're showing us all the time you're not equal, that there's a glass ceiling, that for black you can only go so high, and then they will turn the lights out. They'll turn the lights out off of you. I got the word that even some of the rappers, some of the entertainers and actors, that they have to check in with some of their agents and managers like you do a parole officer. They can't even go to certain functions. If it's a revolutionary function, say, for example, the new Black Panther Party puts on a hip-hop show or whatever the case is, many of these rappers wouldn't even and can't even show up even if they wanted to, because their managers and their agents would tell them that you cannot be involved in anything like that that would uplift your people, all right? And so I'm sitting there saying we have to have freedom all across the board. We got to have freedom. And the only way that you will get free is if you decide right now that you want to shake the chains off, that you got to shake the chains off. You got to know, number one, that you're in bondage, that we're under attack and in bondage, and that even though we have the illusion of freedom, we're still not free in 2010. You have the illusion of freedom, but we are not free by no means. And as we said in the last show, as you see them now gearing up, you know, to plan and plot what they call urban warfare through the streets of North America, you will know real soon what your brother and your comrade is telling you right now, that you're not free. That even though, you know, right now it may be quiet outside, you may not see the helicopter gunships right now, you may not see the tanks right now, just know for a fact, just know as sure as that black skin that's on your body, just know this, just know that right now they're gearing up for a total annihilation of our youth and our people. In many of the major cities, in most of the major cities in America, they had begun work on the expressways and on the what they call the highways, international highways. And what they did was they reinforced the concrete with steel. They reinforced the concrete on the expressways or the highways with steel. And what many of our people don't know is that those highways are specifically designed to imitate the aircraft runways or the aircraft carrier runways or airplane runways, the dimensions and the actual mathematics of the expressways that we drive on every day. The dimensions are there to hold and contain aircraft carriers, helicopter ships, and tanks. And so in many of the major cities in North America, they had reinforced the concrete with steel so that when they moved the tanks to surround the black community, that the concrete would not crack, that it would still support all of the weight. And so, you know, for those who think we're just talking conspiracy theory, I'm just going to tell you, keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes open because the proof is in the pudding. All you got to do is just look at the information. The information is all out there. It's all out there. The information is all out there, but it's only for those who are looking for it. They already have planned through plans like Rex 84 and other kind of plans to use buildings and facilities, schoolhouses and jobs that they want to warehouse the people in the event of the people rising up for their own freedom. They want to suspend the Constitution that they have and then declare martial law. And so this is why they moved in with the Patriot Act and moved in with Homeland Security, so that those those who are taking the vanguard position, like us, hell, those like us who are taking the vanguard position, they'll make it easier to move on us without any real fanfare, because through the definition, through the blanket definition that they give a so-called terrorist, that could apply to anybody who they don't agree with. And so as your comrade and as your brother, the National Minister of Communications, I'm following in the spirit of a Kathleen Cleaver, who was the Communications Secretary of the Black Panther Party. It's my duty to warn you of what is up ahead, and my duty to tell you that you must organize in a revolutionary fashion to defend yourselves and defend your people and defend your nation and defend your future. We don't have a future in America or a future really in the world if you're not willing to stand up and protect what is yours today. You live and we live under the illusion of freedom, but we are all the time under a dictatorship, under an apartheid oppressive system, all the time in a police state. Right now, the soldiers that have been fighting in wars, they're coming back from the wars, and they're going into the police force with military training, and so they're vamping and they're moving on the community, on the black community, in a military fashion. There used to be a time that the police would just roll up on your car with one car, but if you notice now, they roll up on your car, it could be a minor traffic stop. They roll up on your car with two cars. They roll up on your car with three cars. When myself and some of the comrades are rolling through Oklahoma, they rolled up on us in about six or seven cars. And I'm trying to tell y'all straight up, this is not something we're just talking. This is something that we know for a fact because we see it every day in our lives. And by the grace of the ancestors, the spirit and presence of the ancestors, and the power of the Creator Almighty, I'm proud and happy to say that we're still here safe and secure. But I'm just telling y'all, this is real. And this is not no plaything. If you think that this is a plaything, ask little Bobby Hutton about it being a plaything. If you think it's a plaything, huh? Ask Chairman Fred Hampton Sr., is this thing a plaything? If you think this thing is a plaything, ask your great ones who have been assassinated by the state and assassinated by this beast, is this thing a plaything? We don't have time to play, brothers and sisters. All we have to do is organize. And the will of the people is always stronger than man's might. The will and the spirit of the people is always stronger than man's machines. The will of the people will always conquer whatever the technological aspirations of our oppressor is. But we got to have the spirit. You got to have the will to be more than what they say you are. You got to have the will and the desire to be a soldier and be what you were born to be by destiny. That is why we invite you to be a revolutionary every single week. We invite you to fight for freedom, for justice, for equality, and for liberation. We invite you to fight for your own protection. We invite you to fight in a righteous manner for the black nation, because anything that you do outside of building for the black nation is helping the white nation. It's helping the white power structure. It's helping them maintain white supremacy. If you just want to be a good old boy, a good old girl, as they call, and just want to go to work and just want to go to school and just don't want to ruffle any feathers, then I'm telling you, you're living in the wrong time. You're living in the wrong time. This is not the time to want to not ruffle any feathers, to want to go along, to get along, and to not want to piss anybody off. This is the time now for warriors. This is the time now that we are born to live in, to wage our stake, our battle, our campaign for freedom. And I will push us with the help of the Almighty Creator and the ancestors' presence and spirit, all those who have went before us. I will push us with the help and guidance of our national chairman, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. Push us to greatness. Anytime that you see me, push me to greatness. Anytime that you're around your family, push your family to greatness. Anytime that you're around the young youth, push them to greatness. Anytime that you're around any member of our family and our nation, push and invite the greatness to come out of our people. If you dig and dig and dig enough and apply enough pressure, it's just like the piece of coal that's black and cruddy and muddy in the beginning. But as dirty as it is and as filthy as it might get you, with enough pressure, there is a diamond that is produced. And that same diamond is the same that is in our people. We must help our chairman family. He's on the road now, doing what he got to do. And so we got to get on the road and do what we got to do. Doesn't mean you got to leave your homes necessarily like he left his. He left the comfort of his home, left his daughter, you know, leaving his family, making a sacrifice for the liberation and salvation of our people. I'm not asking you just to do everything that he does. I'm asking you to be yourself. But in whatever you're doing, do it in a revolutionary fashion. I'm asking us to get on the road towards liberation. Get on the road towards freedom. If you're not on the road, if you're on the fence and have not yet made your mind up on whether you should be a Panther or not, or whether you should get involved in the Vanguard struggle or not, make your mind up tonight that you're going to do something for yourself and stop faking and fronting and jiving and talking all the time, or posting videos on YouTube, you know, or posting your little status on Facebook, posting your status on Twitter, posting your status on MySpace, whatever. None of that stuff will uplift and free our people. None of that stuff will help our people unless it's used in a revolutionary fashion. And so we must now take our stand. In these last remaining minutes, we must make our stand. you must fight now like there's no tomorrow. You must fight now like tomorrow's not promised. We've been around so long as a people that we act like we have forever. We act like, you know, tomorrow I'll be here and the next day I'll be here and the next day I'll be here. And, you know, we've been there so long, we're just casual with our time. But all the time are we acting casual and acting like we got all the time in the world, brothers and sisters. We are carefully and strategically being advanced upon and annihilated through chemical and biological warfare and even spiritual warfare and even economic warfare and political warfare, physical warfare. When that police billy club connects to your head, that is not rhetoric. That is not theory. That's real. When the police taser connects to your body, that's not theory. That's not rhetoric. That's real. When them SWAT teams kick in the door and you see all them paramilitary uniforms come through your door, that's not rhetoric. That's not theory. That's real. When those guns are pointed at your head and at your baby's head and at your family's head, if you have babies and family, or even at your own head, that's not rhetoric. That's not theory. That's real. And so in the spirit of not only the BPP, but in the spirit of the soldiers of the New Black Panther Party, we are telling you now to arm yourself or harm yourself. Arm yourself or harm yourself. We're telling you now, arm yourself not only with weapons to protect yourself against physical attacks and abuse. We're telling you to arm yourself with a pen. Arm yourself with information. Arm yourself with knowledge. Arm yourself with things that will help to make your revolutionary spirit strong in the face of oppression, in the face of opposition. Arm yourself or harm yourself. Look at the example that the national chairman is putting forth. He's making international connections and national connections. He's an ordinary man, just like you might be an ordinary man or an ordinary woman. Don't make him a superman. He's your brother. He's your comrade, but he loves you so much that he's willing to take the extra step, go the extra mile, be under some extra pressure, huh? Be underneath that which allows him to be made a diamond amongst the people. All we have to do is enter into the process, go in the same manner, as we said in the last show, that Minister Huey P. Newton, in that spirit, go in the same manner of the best of Chairman Bobby Seale. Go in the same manner of all of those who have come before us, the great ones of us. Go not just male, female as well. Go in the manner of those of us who have been great and stop subliminally uplifting the white man so much. Stop looking up to his heroes and his sheroes and stop talking about a Superman running around in red pantyhose and red underoos. Stop talking about that to your children. Start talking about a real Superman, the Black Power General, Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, 100% black man. Start talking that black talk and see if it don't make a difference in your life. You will get more respect standing up for yourself, being strong and being bold. You will get more respect from the peoples of the earth being yourself than you ever would kissing their behinds and laughing when ain't nothing funny and scratching when you don't itch and playing a coon and a buffoon. You will get more respect being a strong member of the black nation, being an intelligent member of the black nation, a productive and responsible member of the black nation than you ever would being a fool and a buffoon, a coon, and a shining a ham bone for white people. It's our time, family. That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line of it all. It's our time. It ain't nobody else's time. I don't care what they say. It ain't nobody else's time. It is time for the black man and black woman to take our place back in society. That's why I say I don't have time, and we don't have time. And the national chairman talked about it tonight. We don't have time to bicker and beef with you over little idiocracies, and little bitty, you know, religious principles. Hell, whatever it is, whatever you got, bring it on with you. Because in the end, like I say, the proof is in the pudding. If you got the way or whatever the case is, it's going to show. But, hey, you got all kind of programs out there, all kind of things that are out there that people say they have, but you go to their cities and you don't see free breakfast programs. You don't see the homeless with clothes on their backs. You don't see the youth being mentored and guided into being gods and goddesses and revolutionaries. You don't see our babies being cultivated right. You don't see it. You don't see the free health clinics, huh? You don't see us grabbing up the land and fixing up the dilapidated housing in the community. You don't see that. So with all the programs that's out there, and everybody that's out there talking that mess about I'm better than this one and this one and that one, it's not in what you say. It's always in what you do. It's always in what you do and your action. It's in your revolutionary action, not in your revolutionary talk. It's in your revolutionary walk and your revolutionary action. And so I'm just trying to be an encouragement to say to all of us that we have to, if we're not, we have to put our monies where our mouth is. We have to be willing to put enough pressure on each other to press each other to be the great black man and great black woman that we're born and destined to be. Born and destined to be great black men and black women. Once you become the great black man and great black woman that you're born and destined to become, there is nothing that an enemy such as the white man can do to stop your progress. Nothing. We give the white man too much credit. The white man can't stop us from doing a damn thing if our minds are made up and we are united and we're focused and in line with the will of the Creator and in line with the spirit of our ancestors and those who've come before us. Ain't a damn thing the white man can do. That's why I said at the beginning of the program to the CIA and to the FBI and to the task force, the ATF and all you letters, you cannot destroy the Panther, because as long as you exist on injustice, as long as you exist on shame and suffering, as long as you exist on falsehood, there will always come a meiotic balance that will counteract your very existence. And plan now. You thought you would get us with and so the white man thought he would hang up with the last final minutes remaining. At the end of the day, family, here's what we're saying. We're saying this. It's time to stand up. It is time to stand up and to do for ourselves. It's time to do for ourselves. You can join with us. Email us at nbpphq@yahoo.com. Give up your time, your talent, and your effort. Build up a black power movement in your cities. Build up the black power movement in your city. You will not be handcuffed. You will not be shackled. You will be free to express yourself in a revolutionary fashion for the good of the black man and the black woman. I'm just here to let you know how serious this thing is, and we must continue to support the efforts of the national chairman, Dr. and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, and the new Black Panther Party. If you have any suggestions on how we can build the party stronger, email us again at nbpphq@yahoo.com. Offer your time, your talent, and your effort, and build with us. We're the last shot. We're the best shot you got. I've got to say it straight. We're the best shot you got to getting liberation and salvation. We're the best shot we got in a revolutionary fashion. And so help us to grow and help yourself to grow and help us to build the black nation as we uproot and overrun white power and the white power structure. And so join us again for another edition of Black Power Radio. We'll be broadcasting live again to you this Wednesday at 8 p.m. with our comrade and our sister, Sister Fasami. And as always, we leave you as we came with Black Power. It's fun.
the chicks hunt them. Neighborhood know we coming. Jake hate them, snakes cannot violate them. Pimps memorize his line verbatim. He reps in Y.O. Yeah, she knows the rhinos. Not church, that's how we tied though. He